7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 44 of Color of Magic, your magic podcast where we try to give a little bit of airtime to people who don't normally get it. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and as usual, I got my buddy Brian riding shotgun. How you doing, Brian?
Doing good. We're live from the brand new Batcave.
It actually sounds a little bit like a cave. We got to get you some furniture, some sound barriers or something in there to get that echo out for you. So what's it like, dude, now that you got your new place since you've been in your other place for so long?
It still feels like someone else's house. It really does. It's crazy.
It'll probably feel like that for a couple of months, I imagine, till you get all your stuff, you know, your flavor kind of put into
it. Exactly. And it wasn't until, you know, all this happened that I realized our last house, we were at 16 years. That's actually the longest I've ever lived anywhere.
That would by far be the longest I've lived anywhere.
Yeah, because just, you know, career stuff and just, you know, general, you know, family stuff. I moved a lot as a kid. And, of course, as a journalist, you move around a little bit more than you probably want to. So, yeah, to get 16 years in one place, again, it's not even close. I guess by far the longest I've been anywhere.
Dude, I was telling you off the air, like, if after I'm here another couple years, it'll be the longest I've been anywhere. And I've moved, you know, just to come up here in the last few years. So that tells you something. So let's go ahead and give a thank you to two new patrons. We have Jason Lippert and Kyler Berlin. Thank you both so much. It's nice to see that they're kind of slowly but steadily coming in at a nice clip here. So I hope we're keeping everybody entertained.
I guess the first step.
So we do have some very cool news from our sponsor, Cardsphere.com. So, you know, we talk about how easy it is to put your cards on there. You know, they pair you up to find people to buy and sell at the prices you're trying to buy and sell at, which is awesome. But one of the things that people have requested a lot from them is that they wanted to be able to use their PayPal accounts to, you know, deposit money and withdraw. And for the longest time, you weren't able to. You had to use some type of credit card, debit card, gift card, that sort of thing. But they just sent the announcement out earlier today that they are moving to PayPal accounts. So if you have a PayPal account, it's going to be even easier to get your money on and off Cardsphere.com. So that's awesome news.
Yeah, that is excellent.
Yeah, so I mean, I was already using it before, but like now I'm just like, oh, well, that's great because I have other stuff that goes in and out of my PayPal account. So, you know, if I just run low because I want to buy some cards, now I can just like, cool, click a button, add some money from my PayPal account. No problem. So I'm going to be digging that. I actually just came across a big pile of cards. I'm going to be doing a box opening of a bunch of Jumpstart stuff, and I'm probably going to put it all up on Cardsphere. So, like, the timing is great.
You're probably coming into piles of cards. Yeah, you don't realize how much stuff you have until you get out your house.
That's the thing right now, right? If you are, you know, let's say you lost your job to COVID issues, or, you know, maybe you're furloughed, or you're needing some extra cash. You know, maybe you want to get some stuff early for the holidays before things get crazy, or you want to save up some money to get some Zendikar that's coming in like a month. Get your stuff up on Cardsphere. I mean, seriously, get that stuff you're not using, dig it up, put it on there, mail that stuff out to people, get paid. It's a great deal. It really, really is. All right. So this week we have some things to talk about. This one's me just getting to give a little bit of a rant here in the soapbox. And I get that because I've talked to a couple of different content creators, especially on YouTube. It happens a lot in the comment section. You got people that want to come in and just tell people how to do their business. I mean, literally, I have had somebody say, well, I expect to see XYZ.
Oh, God.
I have had people come in and say, well, you know, on this turn in this game, you should have done this thing on a video that's like 5 months old. you know, well, you probably shouldn't play this card. This card's better. When if they watched the video, you said specifically, I'm doing this as an experiment. It's like leaving those types of comments. And honestly, and from what I understand, this also happens with people who play some video games.
Oh, yeah.
Like way after the game's done, they get critiqued or whatever and blah, blah, blah. The truth is those comments are pointless. Like, if you want to give a statement of just like, oh, man, it sucks this happened there. Maybe I tried this before and that didn't work, but I did this other thing. So, you know, if it comes up again, this might help you out. Okay, cool. Now you're trying to be constructive, helpful, whatever. But if you're just hopping in to try to, like, I don't know, show your confidence and give expertise and do all these things, then I don't really even understand what your purpose is for doing what you're doing. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm playing Madden. People will be like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. Emmitt Smith is better here. And it says in the title of the stream, Atlanta Falcons theme team.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, at least check yourself first before you say, like, here's the thing. And maybe this is a simple way to put it. As a content creator, and I talk about this on my stream quite a bit. One of my biggest things is making sure I give some amount of value to you. Whether that's just being funny and entertaining, getting into deep conversations, helping you with the deck, showing you new strategies, whatever it is for what we're doing at that point in time. Give the creators that same level of respect. Like, if you're not giving them some value back in your comment, or even the community, right? If you're pointing out something maybe that would be relevant for the community reading the comments, that's awesome. But to just come in to, like, I don't know, try to show superiority or tell the creator, well, you should be producing videos this way or whatever it is, like, that doesn't do anything. It's literally pointless. Because they're still going to do what they do. They're still going to get their subscribers. Like, if you have a good tip or a good hint or something or whatever, great, share it. That's positive. That'll help people out. But I don't know, just to make it to your personal preference, that's just selfish.
Because, like we've talked about, you have a brand, you know, you turn creatures sideways. So for them to come in and be like, hey, I want to see a control deck, you in the wrong place.
Dude, literally, I had somebody complain, like, this is just dumb that you spend all this time playing all these aggro decks. Like, that is literally the brand of my channel. Like, if you look around, it's like probably 85% aggro decks. Like, that's what we do. Like, that's the whole purpose of me doing what I do. Matter of fact, last night, we made a big joke out of it because I decided to put together a mono blue mill deck just as a test. And, you know, the chat had fun goofing with it because I never play mono blue decks. But it was just something fun because they get it. Like, they understood the whole situation and the brand and everything else. So somebody being like, I don't understand. Why wouldn't you just play more blue decks? They're good or whatever. It's like, you don't understand what we're doing here, obviously.
Yeah.
But anyway, with that out the way, what'd you learn last week, Brian?
Well, in keeping with the new digs theme, you know, it's Texas. There's all sorts of creepy crawlies. We have geckos.
Oh, yeah. Geckos are everywhere down. We don't see that many up here, surprisingly, with the wet conditions and stuff. You'd think there'd be more. But yeah, definitely lots in Texas.
So yeah, part one, I learned we have geckos. Part two, I learned my wife can throw a shoe like American Made.
Nice.
Pinpoint aim.
Nice. You know, no lies, I've never thrown a shoe at a gecko. Like, I've just picked them up, tossed them out, or let the cats chase them or whatever.
That's what I planned to do, but it was part of it because it surprised her. It was in a box, so it just kind of jumped out, and yeah, the others will learn not to do that.
No lie, okay, I got to tell you poor black guy story. Because, like, you've dealt with, like, roaches, water bugs, whatever you want to call them, right? The first time, man, okay, I got to be careful not to cuss here. Like, the first time I went to go swat one of those off the wall, and that damn thing flew.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, literally came right by my face. And I'm like, what the? Wow, that messed me up. Like,
you don't know that's a power they have at the beginning of, you know, of your career fighting them.
Dude, that for real, just like for like a whole day, I was just like, I was even telling people like, dude, did you know these things fly? And they're like, yeah, I've seen one fly before. And then, you know, other people didn't know. They're like, what, they fly? I was like, yeah, dude, I saw one last night. So, yeah. So I totally get it. If something just surprises you like that, I don't blame her for throwing a shoe. I'm not going to lie. I held it together because, you know, you got to man up or whatever. But I tried not to throw a shoe. Let me tell you, I almost did. I almost did.
I mean, I'll admit, I jumped because this is a little, you just see motion coming towards you. And until you've identified what it is, you don't know. It could be spider, could be scorpion. Because these are all things that we have in Texas.
Yeah, that is totally true. I mean, I will tell you, that's one thing that's totally different here is we have none of that. Like when we've gone hiking, I'm used to like, okay, I heard something rustling over there. Let me check it out. There's something moving in the water. Is it a moccasin? Is it a whatever? Like here, it's just like a damn salmon. You know, it's like it's never anything threatening. Like seriously, I think they have like one poisonous spider. And then if you go to the east side of the state, there's a couple of poisonous snakes or whatever. But otherwise, there's literally nothing here. Like you can do the laziest outdoor work. Hell, I don't even put shoes on sometimes to go walk around the lawn in the back.
Wow.
And I don't have like carpet grass or nothing. You know, I've got weeds and stuff that still grow out there, but nothing even like sticks you or pokes you or anything. Like it's crazy here. It is totally crazy.
At the state park, not that far from us, they have a thing that says, you know, hey, remember, poisonous snakes are protected by law. I don't know what you want me to do.
Well, I'll be damned if I wouldn't kill one.
Yeah. It's a survival instinct for both of us. We're going to do what we got to do.
Yep, that's for sure.
I guess if there's a fine, I'll pay it, you know.
All right. So my thing from last week is that I don't even know the best way to... Okay, I'll just tell you what happened. Because I don't even know the best phrase to lead into this with. But I had somebody, and actually more than one, I had somebody's, plural. Take one of my decks, because I post my decks on AetherHub, so they're available, they're connected to my YouTube videos, whatever, right? Open to the public, feel free, go play them. Somebody has been, multiple people, have been copying my decks, and then reposting them under their accounts, also on AetherHub.
Wow.
So like, if you're gonna plagiarize, why just copy and paste it on the same site? Now, to take it a step further, they don't even rename them or anything. Like, I put up a Boros Control deck like a week ago. And I was like, okay. I just did a search and went, oh, somebody else has a Boros Control deck. Sweet. And I looked at it and I'm like, well, nope. This is exactly the deck I played. All right. One person, even at the bottom, put this deck inspired by Power Dragon. Nice. Give somebody credit. Cool. But it's literally the exact same 75. They didn't change anything.
In the same way that Ice Ice Baby is inspired by Under Pressure.
Yeah. Hey, at least those have different lyrics. Yeah. I mean, we didn't even get that. Like, so, and here's the thing. Like, I'm a believer that very few ideas are going to be unique, original, whatever, in Magic far as deck building. Right? Like, there's a finite number of cards. You have millions of people building decks. Somebody's probably done it somewhere. So I'm not that surprised by it.
And when you say Boros, you've limited the colors. I said limited.
Yeah.
I did. I said it.
The problem, though, is that you're taking somebody else. Like in my case, I mean, I'm sure it happens to other people, but I'm the example here. Where I'm using it as a way to link my different social things. I'm using it to build up branding and get subscribers on YouTube and whatever. And then you're just taking that and reposting it under your name as though you did something. You know, like at least give the person credit who's, I mean, even if you just said like, hey, this deck built by whoever in your notes. Great. Fine. At least people know where it came from. And if they want to, now they can go follow me. Right? Because like, oh, well, this deck's cool. If this person builds this stuff, I want to see what other stuff they build. Great. But not doing that, you're just taking an opportunity away from somebody. It's the same way if you watch my YouTube videos. I try to always say like, hey, this idea came from somebody in my stream on Monday, or this was on somebody's YouTube video or whatever. just to give credit to that person. Yeah, maybe they're not the first one, but that's where I saw it. So I'm going to direct people to where I saw it from, or at least give that person some amount of kudos or credit or whatever. So maybe if somebody hears me mention them a third time or a fourth time down the road, they're like, oh man, I've seen that Power Dragons mentioned this other person like four times. I should probably check out their stuff. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, coming from journalism, I try to, you know, if I'm not sure, I try to oversight my sources just to make sure that I don't even inadvertently lift any content from anybody.
I agree with you, because you also don't want to become known as that person. Exactly. Right? Because, like, how bad it would be if somebody kept coming to my stuff and perpetually was just like, wait, I think I've seen that deck somewhere else. I think I've seen that deck somewhere else. Yeah. I think I've seen that one. Then eventually it's like, okay, so he's just copying everybody else's deck and not even saying anything. Right now it just looks bad.
Yep.
I mean, I was talking to CGB a couple weeks ago, and he's run into this too, where people will, like, let's say there's an article on any of the big websites, right? Goes out that morning, has a couple of deck lists in it. Within 48 hours, there will be somebody that's like, hey, I want you to take a look at this deck list I put together. It's literally a deck list from an article I saw that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what's the point of that? Like, one, I'm going to be looking at a deck that's basically done already. I don't have any tips for it. Like, it's built for a specific reason. It comes from a reliable person. I mean, and we're not going to, I mean, what do you want us to do, right? We're going to look at it and be like, oh, you did such an amazing job. Like, what's, I don't know what's supposed to come of that. Because I'm not opposed to helping people. I mean, we do deck doctor stuff on my streams almost nightly when I'm on. Like, I'm cool with that. But to just show me something somebody else has already done, and it went out, hell, internationally via email or whatever. Like, what are you even doing? Like, it's such a weird thing. And again, I don't think there's very many truly original ideas as far as deck building and Magic or whatever. But in those circumstances, it's just a real bad look, because we know where the most recent source is.
And like said, if you're ripping from somebody like Covert Go Blue, yeah, come on, people have seen it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. People have definitely seen it. Well, we did promise we were going to have an interview this week. So we brought a friend in. This person actually does a lot of streaming, you know, so that's always a positive, because we're doing some ourselves. So that's one way we connected. And actually, you know, we've had some private conversations. This person's doing some good community work. And that's mainly why we brought him on here to talk. But you know what? Let's introduce everybody to JD Greenidge. So welcome to the show, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm glad you were able to make it. I know we had to kind of scramble and get our schedules together, because we're in three different time zones.
Well, I, after that conversation about Texas and geckos and wife throwing shoes at geckos, you added more reasons of why I'm probably never coming to Texas as a Dallas Cowboys fan, because I'm just, what?
Yeah, it's a wild time there. Texas. Actually, Texas is pretty bad. Arizona's probably worse. And that's probably like as close as you're going to get to living in Australia with everything trying to kill you.
Ah, yeah, I think I'll hard pass. But I heard there's a lot of good food in Texas. So maybe I'll risk it for the biscuit, quite literally.
Oh, dude. Exactly. Literally risk it for the biscuit. Because like, I'll be honest, up here in the Northwest, there ain't a lot of people that know how to do biscuits.
I've heard that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't know how to do macaroni and cheese, to be honest. People adding
that's flour. Also true.
Don't add flour to macaroni and cheese. That roux, like, what? No, just use an egg. It'll stick the same way. Just no flour.
Let me tell you, there's a place here that the guy, it's a barbecue joint, and the guy apparently learned from one of the people down in Austin, right? So dude's got his stuff together, like the meat's on point. The sides and the specialty drinks and all that, like, just garbage. Like, no lie. Like, I was so disappointed, because I'm like, all right, like, you're eating, like, some beef tips and he's got some burn-ins and you're like, oh, this stuff's good. And then you get, like, the beans and the cornbread and the mac and cheese, and it's just not good. It's just flavorless.
Yeah, it just messes up the whole meal, right? You're just like,
yeah.
I don't even understand. He was eating cornbread someplace in California, and apparently it had whole pieces of corn in it. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
No. I've had some of that before. It's a little weird the first time you eat it.
I'm a hard pass. I'm going with, I'm seeing corn in my cornbread, might as well put some raisins in my coleslaw, because no.
Dude, there's a place up here, they served coleslaw that was like one color. I mean, because, you know, corn slaw has like the carrots and the red cabbage or whatever, the purple cabbage, you know, all that. This was just like mostly white and just a little bit of green. And I was like, what is this?
You can't go mono white on your coleslaw. No.
Mayonnaise with lettuce. That's what that was.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's crazy. Not the same. Not the same. So, yeah, food is definitely better in the South because people don't mess with it. It's all about flavor. So anyway, JD, let's talk about how did you get started playing Magic?
So I started playing Magic, so I was in elementary school. And when I moved to the U.S., my mom's boss, the Coopers, they started showing me the game with their daughter, Miranda. And we were playing with his Alpha Sheban Dragons and a bunch of cards. And I just picked it up from there. And I was, I want to say, 7?
Wow. Nice.
7 or 8. But yeah, he gave me my first deck, got me hooked. And I would go to, like, growing up in middle school, I would go to Neutral Grounds and play, then like the King's Gaming in Brooklyn and the Stand. So shout out to Raleigh for truly getting me started and slightly addicted to Magic the Gathering.
You know what? That's wild, because I think you're the first person we've had on that's started out learning from or with a woman or a female player.
Mm-hmm. All right,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it was Raleigh and then his daughter and I, and we all played together, and it was really cool. Then in middle school, there was a lot. We actually played at the cafeteria table. Like, I came to school early. I went to school in the city, and I lived in Brooklyn, but I would go to school like 40 minutes early so I could play in the morning with all the other people playing.
Yeah. Man, I can relate to that too well, because I feel like that was the thing, right? Once you started playing Magic and you had friends to play with at school, you either found a way to get there early or stay late so you could get a couple games in.
Yeah. Oh, I remember the days of leaving Neutral Grounds, like, oh man, I'm about to get grounded. I would look at the clock and it'd be like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, shit, I got an hour to get home to Brooklyn. What am I going to do now? But my mom was pretty cool, because she knew where I was, you know. She knew I wasn't out running the streets or doing anything. I was literally sitting in Neutral Grounds with a bunch of fellow card players.
Well, yeah.
Cardboard.
You're sitting around with a bunch of nerds, right? It could be a lot worse.
Yep, nerd life.
And it's funny, because, you know, my mother had a lot of the same kind of perspective. When she I remember her coming to me one day. She says, you know, I don't know what any of this stuff is. Doesn't make any sense to me, but you're a smart kid. I'm just going to trust you to stay out of trouble. And that was it. Like, she had no idea. She didn't understand it. She was like, you know what? Everybody you're with is smart and safe, so that works for me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, she's come to my events years later, you know, once I was running tournaments and all that stuff. And I remember her standing there looking around, and she just goes, so all these people, they just pay to play in these things, and this is how you pay your bills. I was like, yep.
I don't think I could ever get my mom to a Magic the Gathering event, for one reason. Growing up in the house with like tons of five rolls and all the cardboard, she's just like, can you put your card somewhere?
Well, fortunately, I mostly got into it later in high school. So, you know, a lot of my heavy compiling of Magic cards came after I was out of the house.
My mom was pretty cool with it. Now, some of the people that you know, kept me when my mom was at work, like one of them was super religious, and she didn't even want us to watch He-Man because Skeletor was a demon.
Wait. Okay, I don't want to derail this interview too much, but I ain't never had anybody tell us you couldn't watch He-Man.
Yeah, like what?
Anything skulls or skull-related, she's like, hey, it's for demons. You know, you're looking at that.
That is funny. There, I remember when I first started buying Magic, there was this kid who came into, because, well, we didn't have game stores. We had, you know, sports card shops or whatever. That's where you had to buy Magic. But this one kid would come in, and every time he'd open his pack, he immediately had to trade off the red and black cards because he couldn't have those at home.
I've heard of that.
Really?
It's crazy. Like, there's all kinds of beliefs. So I shouldn't be that shocked that Skeletor scares somebody. But, you know.
Well, not to lie, Skeletor kind of scares the crap out of me. Skeletor's a scary looking dude.
Then, you know, they sold, since they were, of course, Super Christian 700 Club, they sold Herbalife. And I'm looking back like, y'all were the ones that were messing with your community.
Fair. So, yeah, JD, I know you've been doing some streaming. So how long have you been doing that? And kind of how did you get started and all that?
I started streaming. I can't even remember when I started streaming now. I've been streaming for a few years. I used to stream on another account, but then like 4 years ago, I believe about four and a half, we made this account, and originally it was for a group of players. We made it where it was 24 hours. The channel would be up 24 hours a day, and we had multiple different streamers who like chose times and they would stream to the channel. We had like Jamie Topples sometimes, and Bus MTG. And just like Kane Daly, a lot of different people just were like part of this group of Magic players. And we were just trying to make sure that everyone always had Magic at some point of time during the day. And I actually had to stop doing it because I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Marina.
No.
So it's a birth control thing for women. Where
I thought you meant in gaming terms. I was so confused for a second.
Yeah,
the game talking about like aquatic stuff. Like,
that's funny. So my wife had a Marina and actually perforated her uterus. So yeah, we had to like get it surgically removed, and yeah, so I had to step away from doing any team stuff, and yeah. But I've been streaming now on this channel for like the last, I want to say like 2.5 years consecutively. Like, I try to stream at least like 40 hours a week, having fun. Today's stream, for example, was about the community picking one of any three cards they want, and we had to try to find a deck with those three cards to make it work. Didn't matter if there were like a blue card and then a red card and then like a four colored card. And it's fun because it gives you a different perspective to try to create something that's new, you know what I mean? And we played on the ladder. We don't even just do the like, oh, let's play in the play group. We're putting it on the ladder because if it's good enough to compete on the ladder, then it has a chance. And if it's not, then we have to try to tune it to make it better. Because I have a philosophy that you can win with anything. If you put the time and effort into it, you can win with anything. Almost anything. You can't win with like 60 lands, you know? Like, you have to hope like your opponent like kick the judge on the way to the table or something, but
it's funny you say that. Like, I've been doing something similar as well, where I just toss some different decks together, whether I'm just like testing them or stuff that I put on the YouTube channel, and it's like the chat just pick what decks I'm gonna play in ladder that day or whatever. And you know, it does stunt my ladder progress sometimes, but people are entertained.
Yeah, well, see, I stopped concerning myself so much about making Mythic, because regardless of the season, I think I've not made Mythic one season. Like, we always make Mythic, and we try to do it by making sure we don't just sit there with a carbon copy deck, or this is the best deck in the format, you must play this, because, like, that's boring. Like, who wants to do that? Who wants to grind hours of playing the same deck? I don't, and I know some people enjoy that, but like that feels more of like a job than fun.
Yeah,
agreed.
Like,
agreed.
We play the game to have fun, and that's how I try to approach the game at all points, even with my son. And even when I get frustrated, for example, if I get frustrated on chat because, like, say the shuffler is kind of being, you know, the shuffler, I'll step away from the game and I'll come back and be like, sorry, I wanted to step away because I wasn't having fun. If I'm not having fun, then why am I doing it? Why would you do something that's not fun? You know? And people do certain things and they're just like, yeah, I'm doing it because I want to make money. I want to win money at this tournament. Yeah, that's a cool upside. But like, you know how they have those like that new thing. Would you press a button for $500 if 1% of the time something will kick you in the face? Like, you know, I think I'd rather just, you know, have fun.
Man, I got to tell you, with all them threads, that, for those of you who don't know, on Twitter, there have just been a variety of threads. Started because one person said something dumb. Like, if you hit a button and you got $500, but you might randomly kill a person 1% of the time, like, would you do it? And then there was, like, I don't know, like 50 different threads in the next 2 days. Like, about, like, if you did this, you'd move to this area, or, like, this dumb thing would happen to you, or whatever. All we learned is that there's a bunch of people that would do way too much for $500.
Yeah. The funny thing about that is we have this thing on my channel called JD Luck. So even if I did hit it and 1% of the people who would die, like there's a 1% chance someone would die, it'd probably be me.
That's
why you're on Twist that they don't tell you about. You're in the 1%.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's that you didn't ask specifically enough with that monkey's paw.
Yep.
You gonna learn today.
Yep. So yeah, like since you've been streaming for a couple of years, you know, and you know, I've only been doing it since I guess back in November is when I started. You know, how has the community been for you, and how, you know, have you seen the growth, or how have the recent, you know, BLM movements and stuff like that kind of affected any of that for you?
For me, a lot of my so it's weird. I kind of had a bigger following prior till now, because like I said, my wife had surgery and stuff, so it stopped me for a bit. So like, mm-hmm. I lost a lot of people who actually like came in and hung out in the channel and talked a lot. But so I had to kind of like regrow and reconnect with a lot of friends that used to see the channel, used to come and hang out. I've seen recently a great uptick. I've been blessed and fortunate to have a community that actually like stands with me. They come in, they talk, they support what we do, and it's been pretty uplifting. For example, you guys were just talking about decks and how, you know, people miscredit decks and stuff. And we actually had that recently happen to us, where we've been playing a wonky blue deck, and one of my community members came in. They're like, "Hey, person Y is playing your deck." And so I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And then story goes on. They're like, they asked them apparently who they got the deck list from, and they got it from this other person. I'm just like, wow. Just felt like nothing that I did was seen. It's not like we were doing this for months now, but you know, it's weird. Magic's one of those games that, yes, everyone, there's a lot of people doing a lot of different interesting things, and sometimes a lot of it goes under the radar. And
I think you're right there. You know, for me, that comes back to somebody like JR or John, you know, JRR2, you know, where the dude was still is a fantastic deck builder, but up until recently, not that many people knew who he was, you know, and it's just because people just didn't know about it. They weren't watching his stream. They weren't following him on Twitter. So, you know, if his idea showed up somewhere else, it ends up being like 3 or 4 degrees separated from him by the time somebody even discovers it.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy how that happens. Yeah. What's really funny is, like, I remember when I did the E-League, like last year, I came to the event playing Sultai in a field with everyone playing like green blue ramp shenanigans, and everyone was like, "Holy crap, what is this deck?" And we were just casualtying the war out of people. But for everyone that was there, it was new. But like, we've been playing the deck for like, I don't know, like a month prior to that on stream. You know what I mean? So it's funny because you need that little bit of like, "Holy crap, where did this deck come from?" for people to see it. And same thing happened recently when we started playing. We played Mono Black during the Channel Fireball series that they were having. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember. And so a lot of people saw the Mono Black deck there. So that kind of helped, like, put some spotlight eyes on some of the brews and stuff we do in the channel. But all in all, you know, it's still hard for small streamers and small communities. It's always going to be hard because people who have a bigger following, they'll always be associated with a deck, even if they unless they say, hey, this deck was actually, I played against someone and I saw this and I thought it was cool. And people don't do that. They don't credit others a lot where they should. So when we do our community brew decks, what we actually do is we name the deck after the people who come up with the ideas. So if someone presents a deck on our channel to play, the first thing we do when we make the deck is we'll name it. Say, for example, say Power Dragon. So you gave me a deck idea. Be like, Power Dragon's Shenanigans. And we go from there. We tune it. Even if it ends up with a concept from mine, originally the original idea and basis of the deck wasn't from me, you know?
Oh, sure.
We talked about how the same thing happens in comedy where, hey, if I write a joke and Jimmy Fallon writes one that's similar, he got a TV show, so it's his joke now.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just wherever the majority of the community sees it first.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, speaking of that, you know, because we're basically, this is all about exposure that really kind of sets the bar for who gets to have what. And conveniently, you have helped assemble a really cool event that's coming up. So why don't you tell everybody about that? Because this is really, you know, we're talking about getting exposure for some unknown or smaller content creators. This is right in that wheelhouse.
Yeah. So on August 29th, we're having a People of Color tournament where everyone involved in not only the gameplay, but the production, everything is presented by People of Color. We have four amazing commentators and eight players. We're slowly revealing all the players, but you can find all the commentators. I think there's this amazing guy that might be on this podcast with me named Daquan. That I think. Wait, you are one of the commentators as well.
I am.
It's really good and fun because the community misses things, and unless we all pull together and we're like, hey, there's other people in the community, we're gonna be separated. And I believe that pulling everyone together in one big area where you could be like, hey, I don't know that person, but let's see what they're doing, and then that person meets someone else. It's all about making connections with each other and enjoying the things that we all do. And we all love magic, you know?
We definitely do love magic. Yeah. Sometimes more than we should.
Yep.
What's that button about? You keep pushing this button, you get kicked in the face. We all push that button sometimes in magic.
I think we push that button a lot. We're like, oh, man. Oh, that set doesn't have anything good in it. But there's that one card. I guess I'll buy one box. I'll just buy one box.
Yep.
I'll buy some $100 packs. And then every once in a while, I'll get kicked in the face.
Yeah. But it's our hobby. It's what we enjoy. And I just like to see everyone get their opportunity to do what they love and have the attention on them. We have eight amazing, amazing, amazing different Magic players in this event. Some of them are judges. Some of them are Pro Tour Pro Tour players. Some of them, it's like they started playing recently. Some are grinders, male, female, just like every different aspect of the community itself, you know. And I look forward to seeing what everyone brings to the table. It's going to be standard, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, standard. But, hey, it's a new format. Lots of new bands and, you know, not everyone's playing Lucky Clover. And not everyone's playing Sultai. not everyone's playing Gruul. No, but the format's actually pretty interesting. There's a lot of leeway there. And in small tournaments like this, the reason why I wanted to keep it small is because that's where you see people's creativity, you know, and the ability to try to out-meta each other, you know?
Yeah, and I really think it's good because keeping the field small, you almost get people to focus on, no, these are the people.
Yep.
You know, and you can give them proper time and attention, you know, talking about them through the event, making sure, you know, their social handles and their Twitch stream links and everything else get shared regularly, and just get them as much as exposure as you can within the context of that event.
Precisely. That's why I didn't go out and just like put everyone out at one time. Like, here's the eight players. No, because I think everyone deserves that moment in on the spotlight. Cause a lot of people don't get that. And a lot of people never will get that. And I think it's important for people to say, hey, you know what? I want to learn about this player. I want to see what keeps them ticking. I want to hear about their everyday life, you know? And I'm just happy that I had the opportunity and the chance to do that for fellow players.
Well, I think it's cool that you're doing it. Like I said, you know, when y'all asked me to be involved, I was like, yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't I do this? You know, matter of fact, I turned down another opportunity to do something else just to be part of this. You know, I think it's just such a cool idea.
Because people love it. You're going global.
Well, I don't know about that. But I do think it's great to have an event like this where people that we know, or at least people say they would like to see more of, you know, they want to follow more people of color. They don't know how to locate them. They're not in their social circles or whatever. Hopefully this opens the door for several of these people and, you know, their presence becomes more normalized within these different groups. And, you know, they become part of somebody's Twitch viewing rotation or YouTube rotation or whatever, you know, because that's a big deal. I really think it is.
And I want to say thank you for actually, that's really cool of you to turn down something else. And, you know, there's something else like you, like I tell the people who are being a part of this, you, I know how you said, yes, why wouldn't I? But there are people out there who will say no, you know, and sometimes people don't think about everyone as a whole. A lot of people sometimes just think about themselves. And I'm one of those people. I just like if I'm walking down the street and your car's broken down, I'm gonna try to get you home, you know. And that's how I grew up. And I just want to see everyone be together. Everyone just live and be happy.
I mean, I'll tell you my personal perspective is that, you know, I tell people all the time, like I for every practical intent and purpose, I should have been a statistic, right? I came from a small town. I mean, beyond poor, we were destitute at one point, you know, I had drugs and abuse in the home, blah, blah, like you just go down the list. I checked all the boxes, but I only got to where I am because other people took a chance on some stuff, or I got a little lucky and was in the right place, right time for a couple of things, you know, but not everybody has those opportunities. So if I can do a little bit to help somebody else have that moment or get that one thing, then like, cool, if I can, I'd like to extend that and give somebody else that opportunity. Especially when you're talking about a marginalized group that doesn't get exposed. And to me, this is one of those things where it's like, you know, put your money where your mouth is, right? If I'm going to say, hey, yeah, let's Black Lives Matter and this, that, and the other, then like, okay, I can't walk away when it's like, hey, well, we're doing this thing, you know, specifically to highlight people of color. I can't be like, well, you know, I got this other paying gig I got to do, so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, or all the people that are saying like, well, I want to follow more people of color. I just want to learn about them or meet them or whatever. Okay, cool. Well, this thing's going to be happening. Y'all need to come watch.
Agreed.
You know?
Like,
wait, I didn't want to take any actual action. I just wanted to say that I wanted to do those things.
Yeah, like we talk about it on my channel a lot where we say accountability. You have to be accountable for whatever you do in life, good, bad, or indifferent. And people think I'm a little nuts, which I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit nuts. And I'm okay with being a little bit nuts. And like, for example, my biggest goal is to make partner, right? And it has nothing to do with any of the benefits except for one on Twitch. And you want to know what it is?
Sure.
The ability to make a team group, because you can, once you're a partner, you can create a team.
Yeah.
And I literally want to have that function so I could just add every single small streamer that is doing something positive to it. I don't care. I don't care about getting super huge. I don't care about getting big. I like that to me is not important. But if I can help two people get where they want to get in life, then I've succeeded. You know what I mean? I've done something good in life. I've done something positive. And if we have two other people doing that to try to bring two other people and help two other people out, then that's all that all that matters to me. We talk about it in the community all the time. My channel could stay at 60 people viewing, and I will be content once everyone's having fun. There's no negative things in my chat. We joke, we have fun, we play serious Magic. Sometimes we don't play serious Magic, but we're like a little family, you know? And I enjoy that. I enjoy the ability to be like, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? Cool. Oh, you needed this card? I'll send it to you. And people forget that we're all human and we all go through things, you know?
Oh, yeah. And for sure.
I've been playing Magic a long time. Like, I was actually talking on Facebook the other day, and I was laughing because I was looking through some, like, old sell orders of cards. And I actually posted it on Facebook, and I was just like, oh, 2013. What did I sell in 2013? I'm like, oh, sell some duels. Well, $68 for that duel? Oh, man. It was like, Taiga, one excellent condition, $36. I think that's a little bit more now, but it's okay. Tropical Island, three excellent condition, 68. Yeah. And it's just funny because the game's still here. The game is still great, you know what I mean? And I just want to see it be that way for hopefully. I wanted to hope my son plays eventually because he has his own cards. He has his own collection. But if it's just about people reaching for like their own greedy intentions and like only being like, oh man, this is my deck. No one else, you know, no one else helped me get here. And that's the thing that I don't like, the me part of the game. And it's actually dwindling some, but it still exists. And if we can get rid of that in the game and everyone just comes together and remember why we play the game, which is because we love the game, then we'll be in the better times, you know? And that's what I'm trying to do with the tournament.
Well, that's cool, man. I can totally get behind that. I mean, just taking an opportunity to really help lift other people up, it's rarely going to be bad for you. You know, it's almost all upside for everybody involved. Yeah.
See, you could tell that to my wife because she's, you know, she's like, you're spending more money on what? Don't worry about it, Beb. Don't worry about it. I have some hidden prizes for the viewers that are actually going to be like watching the event, which I can actually talk about. So I can talk about one of the giveaway things we're doing.
Yeah, go for it.
So I bought an unlimited force field for the event just to give away randomly to one of the viewers in the channel during the stream, because like the idea behind the force field is we have to create a force field against all the negativity, all the hate, all the things that are bad in the game and shun it out. So that's part of one of the cool things I wanted to do for the event. There's a lot of little other hidden giveaways, but that's one of them. I'm just let you have that one because I posted about it a little bit, but you know, I can't spoil all the surprises. There's also something really cool at the end of the event, which now you are aware of, Daquan, but other people won't get to know about it until they actually, you know, tune in and watch the event.
Well, there you go. That's what we call in the business a teaser.
That's right.
Show up to the event. There'll be a little something extra for you there. So let's go ahead and kind of wrap up this episode, but let's talk about one more thing. We're going to mix a couple of things here. We're going to take a question from our Discord, and we're going to kind of make that our dinner table talk topic, because it's very fitting, I think, with the time and everything else going on. Also, if you would like to submit a question at any point, you can join our Discord if you join our Patreon. So you can go to patreon.com/colormagic. And we take questions there regularly. There's a conversation about many other things as well, but this is kind of, we can find out what's on your mind and we can talk about it on the show. So one of the things that, what's that?
I apologize. I wanted to say something. Maybe there'll be a question and be like, how much Patreon do we have to raise to make you play Blue-White Control? Because I kind of want to see you play Blue-White Control now. I was listening to you talking about how your aggro plan. I love watching you play Gru. I lurk your channel a lot too, which you know. Sometimes I chime in, but I'm a lurker. I like to lurk and watch all my friends. But now I kind of want to see them make you play Blue Eye Control.
Well, if you gave me a $500 button.
what's the 1%? Isn't that like there's a chance I get kicked? I don't want to get kicked.
Knows?
Oh,
who knows?
Oh, drats. All right, yeah.
How bad do you want to see this control, though?
I think you're going to have to create that $500 Patreon button. You never know. Some magical fairy might drop it in there. I'm not saying.
Sure.
Because now I want to see you play Blue White Control. Hold on. Let me...
It'll happen at some point, I'm sure.
Yes. All right, sorry for cutting you off. That was very
rude. No, you're totally okay. So what it came down to is it was really kind of part of a different set of questions and kind of boiled down to, with everything going on right now, we're talking about the whole Black Lives Matter and the protests and all that, how do we keep movement going forward toward progress without burning ourselves out? And I figured this may be a thing where we kind of each can just give maybe a tip or a thought. So, I'll go first and give y'all, a chance to kind of gather something there. But for me, and I talked a little bit about it on the show in the last couple episodes back, it comes down to kind of setting benchmarks, saying, okay, what do I think? Well, first is deciding what should be prioritized. Like, what do I think is more important within each group? Whether it's my local group, maybe it's my city council, maybe it's a school group. It could be a company like Wizards, whatever it is, and then kind of making a list of things and saying, okay, which of these I think is more important? And then kind of check in and say, okay, where is the progress toward this thing? And I don't know for me personally, I don't feel like I need to badger it all the time. But, when I see a decision made, I kind of double check and say, okay, is this helping us get where we should be going? And then if not, I'm like, I'll bring it up and make a thing out of it. I'm not a person to I don't want to be, Chicken Little with the sky is falling all the time with every single question or every single issue. But if I can see hey, this is causing a problem, let's really talk about this, right? Like, this is taking us the wrong direction. So for me, in the case of Wizards, just using them as an example, since we're talking about Magic, for me, it's about, okay, I can see clearly a spot where we have the two artist openings, what we've talked about before. So the next time we hear about new artists, if it's not from a minority sector, whether that's a person of color, a trans artist, somebody, anybody from the LGBT community, a woman, whatever, then we're going to have to look back and question okay, well, you had an opportunity. This is easily done, but we didn't do it. Okay, now we need to have a really, now we need to badger this and say, okay, you had a chance to make changes and make progress, but we didn't. With other stuff, I think it's going to be on a personal judgment level, because you can't go 100% all the time. You have to pace yourself and you have to pick and choose your battles. I know it's easy, especially right now, if you're frustrated in your home and, isolation and COVID and all that, and hell, the election's coming up. It's easy to want to find something you can latch onto and just go after it whole hog. But you just can't. Eventually, you'll get burnt out and you're actually going to do more harm than good, because eventually you're just not going to have the energy to fight at all. And you're going to step away and not want to participate anymore. And it's like, you know what? I'll let somebody else do it. It's that same thing when we started doing this show and, people immediately jumped out and said, well, good, I want a show that talks about this and we don't need to be telling people how to do this and, how to speak correctly or what issues to pay attention. It's like, no, but that's not how we chose to do our show, right? We pick and chose our battles. I do want to tell people about what the problems are. And I do want to give people a resource that they can reference, or give them even somebody they can write to or talk to. I have chosen to fill that role, and Brian also, to let people have that. That's our way to help the issue. I get that that doesn't work for everybody. Some people, they don't want to do any of the emotional labor, or you go find your resources. I'm of the other side of that, but I say, you know what? I'm willing to take that on because I want them to have at least a reasonable reference or resource. But I don't think either way is necessarily right or wrong. But like I'm saying, you've got to pick what works for you so you can sustain the fight effectively. So that's my piece. I will let y'all kind of chime in where you want.
Okay. So a lot of it boils down to me to a few things. Communication, accountability, and to be honest, respect. And they all tie in together with each other, because like when you see all the social media talk and all the anger and this and that, someone will say one thing, right? They'll be like, blah, 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 blah. And instead of saying to the person, hey, what did you mean? This upset me because I think you're trying to say this. People don't communicate anymore. You know, instead of speaking to the person, they just get angry. And that's a huge problem with that I have with social media these days, because you can't really, the cues are missing. You know what I mean? You can't hear the emotion. You can't hear the underlying tone. You can't see that during do letters. And people don't do that where they need to, where they're like, hey, I'm upset because you said this. What were you trying to say? Or try to get their attention and talk to them in a private message, you know? And we have to be accountable to do that. If you believe in the Black Lives Matter movement, if you don't, we're all not going to agree on everything. There's always going to be two sides of the coin in regards to everything. Some people love red magic cards. Some people hate red magic cards. Some people hate gruel. Some people love gruel, you know, and it's
some people are just wrong. That's fine.
See, but that's what I'm saying. That'll be people's viewpoints and response to be like, you're just wrong. Instead of saying, hey, why am I wrong? You know, and give the person the opportunity to say you're wrong because A, B, C. And if you don't agree, you don't have to, but you have to at least pay the person the respect to listen. And people don't listen anymore. And I think that's a lot of the problems that we're going through in politics, in magic, in everything. And it's just we speak so freely because we're confined and hidden behind our keyboards and we're not accountable anymore. People make fake accounts because they're not accountable, you know? They'd be like, I'm Joe Smo in space, because it doesn't matter. But it does matter. Whatever you say or do, you should be accountable for. And if you're not, you should hold someone else accountable for their actions. But you should also still give them the chance to speak.
So it sounds like you're saying to largely, well, hold people accountable, yep, and be willing to engage in dialogue.
Yeah, because people are ready. Because people are going to be wrong, right? You're allowed to. One of my best of friends, my team captain, is a Republican, right? He talks about it all the time and Trump and this, and I listen to him. And I'm just like, okay, I understand what you're saying there, but I don't agree with this. And there's going to be points where some things make sense and some things don't, you know? But if you don't listen and you're instantly like, I hate this subgroup. Nope, I'm not listening to this person because they're black. You know what I mean? Like, that's where problems start. People don't want to listen, you know? People are scared to. People are scared to engage because they're afraid of what other people are going to say back. So I see comments on Facebook. For example, today there was the talk about Syracuse. You know, I made the joke about Texas, how I'm not going to Texas, and I was kidding. I would actually go to Texas. It's one of those jokes we make all the time. But someone was actually saying, like, I wouldn't go to Syracuse. And we're like, why? Because you heard from someone that the food is bad? And I was like, I live in Syracuse area. If you want, next time you're at an SCG event, I will bring you around and show you, because people go off of what other people say without experiencing themselves. So experiences are important. And you were talking about that earlier, experiences, you know, sometimes you got to experiment with a deck. You can't just be like, hey, this deck is terrible or this deck is great. You have to try new things that people don't. Sorry, I started to rant a little bit because, you know.
No, it's fine. I think a lot of that comes with also, you know, just having respect for the fellow person.
Yep.
You know. I mean, barring somebody, I mean, if somebody's just talking about, like, you know, something crazy, like, well, the Holocaust never happened. Like, okay, let's sit down and have a real talk, like, because that's just kind of dumb.
There's obviously like, you know, exceptions to the rule. There always is. But you should be like, why do you, already someone's like, the Holocaust didn't happen. You could be like, why do you think that it didn't happen? And just hear what they're saying, you know, You know, you never know what someone's actually feeling or thinking, because sometimes people miscommunicate what they're trying to say. I do it all the time. Like, I'll try to say something, I'm like, that's not what I meant to say. And I'll stop myself midstream, and I'll be like, I did not mean to say that. That came out wrong. Apologize. And people don't apologize. Own up for your mistakes. If someone says something, you're just like, I don't believe what you say. Just don't be like, don't just ignore it. Say, hey, I don't agree with that because A, B, C, D. Were you trying to say A, B, C, D, E, F, you know?
I have to say, like, you know, to that point, I've had people many times ask, like, well, why do you still keep this person on your timeline, or why still you associate with this person? Some of it is just so I do understand what the other side is thinking or saying or doing. And some of the times I've gotten through to these people is because I've been willing to engage in just a normal conversation as a human, like acknowledging that, like, okay, look, we don't agree on this thing, but let's just talk about why.
Yep.
You know, and you'd be surprised. Sometimes it's just they've not walked in somebody else's shoes and they don't understand the perspective. But taking the time to tell somebody that can go a long way.
Yeah.
Much as you'd like to cut everybody off, it's not realistic. You know, my wife will say the same thing. Like, why do you continue to talk to this person? You know, because they're my cousin or my coworker, or I can't just not talk to them. You know, we're doing a comedy show in 3 days. I got to talk to them.
Fair. So, yeah, Brian, what would your one piece of advice be for, like, keeping progress going but not pushing yourself to burnout?
I think, like, you actually kind of took mine. You're talking about short-term and long-term goals, and especially with the topic like racism in terms of long-term goals. I mean, long-term, and that some of the things I'd like to see, I don't expect to see happen in my lifetime. And sometimes I'm wrong. Like, I never thought I'd see a black president in my lifetime, and lo and behold, I was proven wrong on that. So every now and again, you know, the timeline surprises you.
Man, you ain't lying. Like, I think I said it before. I not only did I not expect to see a black president, once he got voted in, I didn't think he'd make it through his term.
I was worried about that too.
I mean, I know that's grim.
Immediately, just all the vitriol and the venom that came out. So yeah, I think I'm sure he was worried, more worried than we were.
Probably. But yeah, you know, I think you're right. There is something to be said for understanding that some things are going to take longer.
Yep.
You know, one of the big issues right now, I think, that's come up, I've been talking to people about, is the whole defund the police movements, right? And everybody's like, oh, we need to do this and need this and this should happen tomorrow and blah, blah. But the truth is, you're talking about changing systems in every city that have been there for decades. You know, yeah. That's not something we're going to change tomorrow. And even worse, we don't want to make a major change without everything being in place, right? If we just say, okay, well, tomorrow police no longer respond to anything that has a mental health component. It's like, okay, great. But where did we get those extra healthcare workers or psychiatrists or social workers that need to respond to this? What's the protocol for them having something written up to say, okay, this is the point where we call another authority or whatever, right? You know what I mean? You can't just do it. Like, things have to be done. So, and this kind of comes back to my thing of, okay, understand what we want to happen. And then as things are being approached, do a check-in and say, okay, does this make sense? Yeah. All right, cool. Now, if it's going a long time, like say we get 6 months down the road and a bunch of these cities are still like, well, you know, we're still going to give 5% more to the police budget. You're like, okay, well, now let's raise some hell. But if we're seeing the progress and seeing the changes, you know, just keep an eye on it. Yeah. That's all. Keep your ears open, your eyes open, and, you know, pick and choose what you really want to fight against.
My short-term goal there, I think, is, you know, why does, let's say, the Ferguson, Missouri Police Department need a bunch of Humvees? You know, they're basically tanks in comparison to other police vehicles. Why are there large armies of terrorists attacking the city of Ferguson where they need this? If not, then okay, maybe it's time to consider reappropriating some of those funds.
Dude, I still remember seeing, and this is before all the recent stuff happened, this was probably 7-8 years ago, reading a story about some small town police department or something that they got a couple of big vehicles and a rocket launcher.
Again, I was like,
What the hell does any? I don't care if you're the LAPD. Why the hell are you even allowed to put a rocket launcher on the budget sheet?
Yeah, because in a civilian area, I can't see any safe way to deploy that.
Yeah, so step one is just like, hey, they probably don't need to be buying any military equipment. That's not a thing. But I think now we're starting to veer off into a whole other conversation.
Sorry, I was over here thinking about, I kind of want a rocket launcher. That's kind of cool. Can we have a rocket launcher for self-defense purposes?
Hey, Elon Musk sold flamethrowers. You can still find one of those.
Yeah, but I don't want to be shooting a fire. Like, think about it. You have a gas or propane-filled thing on your back with a flame shooting. Well, the first thing you aim for is the guy with the flamethrower.
I can't say much. I play around with barbecues and stuff too much. So,
Yeah, I'm a secret pyro, too.
Oh, God.
Yes, my child, you called?
All right, let's save ourselves some trouble before we get in trouble here. Yep. Let's wrap this up. So, JD, where can people find you online?
You can find me at my very, very complicated Twitch name. It's twitch.tv, JD Greenwich. Or you can find me on Twitter at the Black Splash, D-A Black Splash. That's pretty much where you can find me. I'm on Twitter and Twitch a lot. Yeah, just look for the black guy with dabbing on fire, and you'll find me.
Fair. That really describes it very clearly.
Yep.
Brian, where can they find you?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, and our family channel is Alan's Ever After on YouTube.
And there you go. Almost walked over you there. Yeah, you can find me, as always, at Power Dragon, PowerDragn on Twitch and YouTube, or you can just follow me over on Twitter, though I've been toying with the idea of starting another YouTube channel just so people can watch me experience things for the first time. So,
oh, wow.
I threw it out as a joke, but everybody's really into it, so now I have to consider it, but that's a whole different topic for another day.
I need that link now. That sounds like a super, super fun to watch. I'm excited.
So, as always, wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And remember to wear your mask, stay away from everybody. We're all icky with the COVID. Just stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, do everything you need to do. We'll see you next week. If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us at our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate, other patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at Color of MTG. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.